name is Jacob Madden, and I am in the sixth grade. If you haven't recognized, I am not a part of the youth group, but the cool thing is that all of us in this room are a child of God. And I think that the thing that really highlights this is how God can work in the lives of our young people. Many times I hear it said that how, you know, I hear it said in churches how the youth are the future of our church, and I could not disagree more. I think that they are the church. They're in the trenches. They're in the trenches of a perverse generation that needs the Lord. They're in the trenches of confusion. They're being tugged in many different ways. And I think as parents, what we do is we look at them in a certain way, but we don't really see the depths until it comes out, until it spews out of their pain and their suffering exactly what they're going through. And so today, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to page 178 in the Pew Bible. It's going to be 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And real fast, when we look at this, I have 10 to 15 minute slots, so we're going to make this roll, right? So here's the deal. Paul the Apostle is writing 2 Timothy, and he's writing it to Timothy, his son in the faith. Timothy is a young man. Timothy is a young man that goes through a whole lot of struggles in his ministry. Paul absolutely loves this guy. Paul the Apostle here is writing from imprisonment. So he's in prison, and it's his second imprisonment. And this is very significant because the first time Paul's imprisoned, it's kind of like, okay, you know, I know I'm going to get out. At this time, in Paul's second imprisonment, this is actually the last letter that Paul writes to anyone, and it's a very transparent letter. He's pouring out his heart to Timothy, his son in the faith, and he's doing this, and it's very transparent. It's raw. I love this letter. But Paul knows that he's not leaving. His time is up. He's finished the race. He's fought the good fight. He's complete the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Paul is lonely. And he's imprisoned in this dungy, underground prison, shackled to a column, a Roman column. I actually got to see the place where he was arrested and held captive in Rome. And Nero is persecuting the church throughout the known world. He is a man on fire after the Christians. So much so where Nero, in his attempt to build the huge structures in Rome to his glory, he wanted to do this huge building project in a portion of Rome. And so one of the things he did was he figured, I know a way that I can get this land from the people, and I can go ahead and build and erect these huge structures, I'll start a fire. Well, Nero and his genius actually almost burnt down the entire city of Rome, and heads were going to roll. And what Nero did is he blamed it on the Christians. They were this sect, this small group of people where this new theology and this new understanding was kind of put off by the Gentiles, and even the Jews in Israel. So Nero is persecuting the church. He's actually lighting his garden at night with the bodies of Christians alive. He put them in these huge steel cages, like a bird cage, and put tar on them and light them on fire. And they were under deep persecution, and Paul is experiencing this. He's grieved. And what's also happening is that thousands of Christians are fleeing, not only from Nero and persecution, but they're fleeing from the cross. They're turning their back in the face of persecution to God. So he's arrested, he's imprisoned, he's discouraged. And you can see it, his discouragement between 1 and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, he'll say things like, some have turned aside from the faith. And that's in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Or some have turned aside after Satan. Talking about Christians. They're leaving the faith. He's saying some of them have. And then he says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10, some have been led astray. 1 Timothy Chapter 6, verse 21 says, some have erred. But by the time he's writing in 2 Timothy, the some become all. And you can see this in 2 Timothy, how he's these same statements, he doesn't use the word some, he uses the word all. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, it says, all have turned away from me. All have forsaken me. He feels completely alone. Completely alone. So let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. So Paul, every time he writes these letters, he addresses who it's from. It's a letter. It's like a letter that you would write to somebody. He says, you know, hey, this is who I am. He's doing his introduction, and he says, who is he writing this letter to? So he says, chapter 1, verse 5, he goes, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3 says, I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as consistently remembering you in my prayers at night and day, longing to see you, even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, for I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, for which dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, as I am sure that it is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but power and love and discipline. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that, Lord, that you call young and old, and you do not give us a spirit of timidity, Lord God. And even as circumstances in our life can look grim, even if we can feel lonely like the Apostle Paul, I thank you that you have given us your spirit, and it is of power and love and discipline. And it's by that, Lord, by your spirit, we receive a victory. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive a victory. I just ask that, Lord God, that you would soften every heart in this room, and that you would draw us to yourself, and that we would live in power to give your name glory all across this earth. In your holy name, amen. So here's young Timothy. He's in his mid, he's probably in his early to mid-30s. He's a young guy. But see, Timothy, he's had interaction with Paul for a while. See, Paul knows his grandma. Paul knows his mama. Paul knows his life. Timothy actually went on several missionary journeys with Paul. I mean, and we're talking about missionary journeys where they're beaten, they're accused, they're arrested, they're shipwrecked. But there's also, in those stories, there's victory, there's salvation, there's building up of the church all across the known world. And actually, Timothy is one of Paul's young companions, and what we know about Paul is that Paul looks at Timothy as a son in the faith. I remember what Paul says. He goes, you know, there are many, many guides, but there aren't many fathers. There are many guides in life, in your life, in my life. Even in the first century, there are many guides, many people that can give you opinions or whatever, but there are not many fathers. There's a difference between a father and a guide. There's a difference between a father and a guide. And you can hear this in Paul's voice as he's writing to Timothy in verse 4. He says, longing to see you. He longs to see this kid. It's not just a partner in ministry, an acquaintance. He's got a deep love for this young guy. And he says, I long to see you, even as I recall your tears. And he's referring to tears on the journey. I remember that time when we were arrested or beaten or you know, you struggled with this or that, or even when I placed you in charge of ministry at this church and you were young and people were coming against you because of your age, and I know it was a deep wound. And he says, I remember your tears. I remember your tears. See, they have a deep connection here. Paul is a spiritual father to Timothy. I remember your tears. But then he says, I'm longing to see you. Why? As he recalls his tears, so that I may be filled with joy. See, a spiritual father finds joy in the successes and the growth of their spiritual son. He receives a joy through the ministry that he does in Timothy's life. Now, we all know about Paul, right? Paul was a Jew. He persecuted the church. He had, on the road to Damascus, he has this encounter with the dead and resurrected Jesus Christ. He's blinded. He comes to faith, and he becomes a Christian. He forsakes his old life, and he receives the new one. And he used to be persecuted or persecuted the church, and now he's the persecuted. He brings on new life, and what God gave him, he gave him a Barnabas. Barnabas was Paul's first companion. And Barnabas walked with Paul as they did their missionary journeys a long time ago, way before Timothy. And Barnabas' name means son of encouragement. You see, Barnabas was an encourager to Paul as he's a new baby in this faith, as he is a new Christian and discovering who Jesus is and discovering the resurrected power of Christ in him. And so here's the son of encouragement. But then what happens is, as Paul matures, as he matures, God brings him along Timothy, people to pour into, people to guide and to love and to care for, to father spiritually. So the emphasis of what we're looking at is in verse 6, though. Because Paul knows he's discouraged and he knows that it's over for him. His leadership of the church is about to end. And he has to pass the torch. What will happen when I'm gone? What will happen when my time is up, when I've finished that race? Who will carry the torch? Who is it that will stand up for Christ? Even as all these are running away, who will stand up in this generation? And that's his appeal to Timothy. In verse 6, he says, for this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh. If it's the NIV, it's to fan the flame. To fan the flame, to kindle the afresh. To fan this flame of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And he talks about the Spirit of God that has been placed on his life. And I know that, you know what, even if you have the Spirit of God, there is another voice. There is another voice from your flesh that is trying to lead you astray. But he says, fan that flame in your life. Don't ever let it go out. Fan that flame. And you know, when we look back at Timothy, Paul is reminding of him of his spiritual heritage, your grandmother and your mother, who you grew up in that household. And they were faithful women. It doesn't mention Timothy's dad at all. Timothy's father was a Gentile. He was a Gentile. His mother was unevenly yoked with a Gentile. She was Jewish. Eunice and Lois, they were Jewish, but Timothy's dad was a Gentile. And it wasn't customary for Jews that had boys that didn't have a living religious father. It wasn't customary for them to learn the ways of their father. What they did was, is if you had a living, unspiritual, a father that didn't believe in the God of Israel, when it was done, it was passed down to the grandmother, if she was alive, to teach that boy the ways of the Lord after the age of 7. And so these women played an instrumental part in Timothy's life, and then later on, God brought along a Paul, a spiritual father, in his life. And they did ministry together. And there was a connection with one another. You know, Paul's reminding him that he comes from this great family of faith. And he needs to draw on that heritage as he knows that he's leaving this world, and Timothy, I'm passing the mantle on to you. I'm leaving this world, but remember this heritage of faith. So the question is, who makes up your spiritual heritage? Who was it that helped you to form your faith? Who is presently discipling you? Who's in your life that you are impacting? Essentially, what I'm asking you is, if you were Paul, who is your Barnabas? Who is your son of encouragement? If you were Paul, who is your Timothy? Who are the people that you're pouring into, that you're leaving a legacy in, that are going to carry on the gospel? I find for many Christians that don't have a Paul, or that don't have a Barnabas or a Timothy, they are not engaged in the work of the Lord. They're philandering. They don't have that structure that God has given of discipleship in their life, to be discipled and to disciple others. And I think in many cases, not only do we live literally in a fatherless generation, literally with present fathers pouring into their lives, but I think also spiritually we live in a fatherless generation. So here's this father speaking to his spiritual son, and he's saying, fan the flame. This gift that God has imparted to you. He's saying, develop your God-given gift. Develop your God-given gift. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh, to fan the flame, the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. The words fan into flame that Paul uses here can also mean to stir up or to rekindle. The cool thing is on the Bower Roadhouse is that we got this little fire pit that I've collected some stones, and we got some firewood from the work day, and we had some of the girls from the youth group hanging out with my daughter last night, and we've been making a lot of fires. And just thinking about fanning into that, to, you know, that flame, just fanning it. You can see it kind of die down. Those embers are dying. And he's using this as a spiritual illustration of what happens in the life of a believer when they're not close to God, when they're not engaged in the work of the ministry, when they're not communing with God, hearing his voice, when they're not around Barnabas's or around Timothy's that can fan into flame that work of the ministry. And the work of the ministry is not just Sunday sermons. It's what God is doing in our body. It's the victories that we experience in him in personal, real life. And we hear the testimonies of our kids, and they need a victory. We need a victory. I mean, Jesus did not die so we can have a clean-cut religion. We've always had that in humanity. They've always worshipped Baal and did sacrifices. Jesus died to redeem you, to put value in you, to give you purpose, to give you victory. He's living, and he's living in you. The gift that God has given Timothy is like a fire. It burns inside of him. Paul wants Timothy to develop this gift, not to waste it. He wants him to fan this flame. He wants Timothy to intensify this fire within him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, it says, but each man has his own God-given gift. One has this gift, another has that. And the reality is that we all have been given a gift. We've all been given a gift from God for his purposes in his kingdom. And I think for a lot of us, that gift, that fire has gone out, or it's slowly going out. We all have been given that gift. Are you developing your gift? Do you want to know what your gift is? Develop that gift so that you can use it for the service of God. Fan the flame. Fan the flame. And then he tells him in verse 7, he says, here, I'll read it. In verse 7, he goes, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity. And what he's saying that you've been timid. You're young and you've had some issues as a young pastor, a young evangelist with the older generations that look down on you and they want to kind of put you in a place But what Paul is saying is you've been called out for a service. Don't allow your age to hinder your service to God. The age is the flesh. The age is the flesh. So he's saying, don't be timid. God has given you, but of power and love and discipline. That's what the Holy Spirit gives us. Power, love, and discipline. He now instructs them to display a new spirit, a spirit of godliness, even as a young man. Timothy was known for having a spirit of timidity. Paul reminds Timothy that God has not given him that spirit. He's given him a new one. So the spirit of power. It's the spirit of power empowered by the Holy Spirit to take on more authoritative role in the church as Paul knows that he's leaving. Someone has got to step up. Someone has got to carry the torch. And it can't be these people that are just leaving the faith in the face of persecution. He knows that Timothy has been there in the face of persecution. He knows that he can do it. Even as he grieved and he sobbed and he was uncertain, he could rely on the strength of Paul through all that persecution on his missionary journeys. But now Paul was no longer going to be there. Who are you going to rely on now? The power of the Holy Spirit. He's given you power. And he says also a spirit of love. God is love. He's given his spirit of love. Timothy must take on the same spirit of love as he fulfills his ministry. In the face of discouragement, the ability to pour out grace and love and not respond how we normally would respond. We want to fight in the face of persecution. But he's saying where your power is, the same spirit that gives you power will also give you love. And that love has the power to transform this perverse generation. People are hurting and they need love. And what love looks like is not just some flaky thing. We're talking about a powerful love that is disciplined, that has a goal, that has an end in mind. It's not just one that recognizes your pain and your hurt and gives you a pat on the back. It's not some passive love. It's a love that moves you beyond your present circumstance and into the victory of Jesus Christ. And what we need in this generation, in our generation, is not just mere empathy, but what we need is victory. We give love and we give empathy, but we can also move people into victory. Jesus does not want you to stay where you are in your present painful condition. And I'm not talking about wealth or health or he's going to give you 401k plans and all of these things. No, I'm saying that there is a joy beyond this world that he can give you. Love. And the third thing is self-discipline. In order to fully use his gift, Timothy is going to have to show a lot of self-discipline and apply himself to keeping the fire burning inside of him. He's going to have to continually stroke that fire and keep it burning brightly and intensely. Because as Paul once told him, follow me as I follow Christ, Paul's now gone. And Timothy's going to have to take on a new mantle and he's going to have to say, follow me as I follow Christ. As I burn for him in his word, follow me. Let me at least be your human example as Jesus Christ is your heavenly example. So Timothy's going through a lot. He's facing rejection. The church is fleeing. They're being persecuted. Paul is feeling alone and discouraged in ministry. And he's holding on to the one thing is his. I am chained to Christ even in this present circumstance here in Rome. Yes, the life that I live, I no longer live it in the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that was given to Paul and Timothy has been given to us. I think we live in a generation where it is a fatherless generation. I think if you come from a fatherless household, and it could be physically or spiritually, you know, I think this is one thing that's been really on my heart is how do we father the next generation? How do we encourage them to fan it, the flame, to stoke the flame? And it's not the fact that they're going to be the church. They are. It's active. It's alive right now. The trials are very real, just as they're very real for you. And just as this generation needs Paul's, our generation needs Timothy's. We need to not only have Barnabas's, but we need to have Timothy's. We need to see that we are our brother's keeper, our brothers and sisters' keeper, that we are one flesh, we are one body, we serve one God according to one Spirit, we all have different members, but our responsibility is to one another as we follow Christ. We should be able to give the love, the discipline, we should be able to give power and encouragement to help people move forward in their faith. So the challenge to the church is to ask you, who is your Barnabas? Who is your Timothy? Fan that flame. It's not about sitting and going and hearing and knowing. The church is a living organism. It's about being. After I've gone to church and after I've known everything that there is to know in this Bible, at what time am I the church? At what time am I simply Christian? Not a person who believes in Jesus or a person who goes to a Christian church, but I am living in his body. I am connected to that vine. See, God has given us a ministry of reconciliation, and we all have a part to play in this body. It's a beautiful thing. It's a messy thing. It's an awesome thing because it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to give us that power, he's going to give us that love, and he's going to give us the discipline to move forward into the future that he's called us. He's called us to victory, and the church should look uniquely different than the world in every way. Uniquely different from the world in every way.